Isn't the Lord good? Don't think this weather's going to last much longer. There's a thunderstorm apparently starting tonight, coming into the morrow. We knew it would be too good to be true. I said to a fellow at work yesterday, I says, you call him Ross. I says, Ross, keep an eye on my head because it's white. It'll take the hot air for an hour to get a bit of sun. As soon as you see my head going red, let me know. And about 2 hours later, he came back laughing. He says, oh, your head's red. He thought it was funny. Oh, I tell you. But thank God for the sunshine, amen. Let's turn in our Bible tonight to the book of Acts. And I won't get finished even on the portion I'm trying to get finished tonight. I won't get finished the book of Acts tonight, that's for sure. But I had to stop. I was putting down a lot of things and I had to stop because I didn't want to have too much. Just a wee announcement. There's a fellow called Paul Walsh. I don't know if anybody here know him or not, but he goes to Keith's Church in Limerick, Pastor Keith's Church in Limerick. He's one of the ministers down there, preaches in the church, does a lot of preaching on the street. He's a converted Roman Catholic. He's coming up near this area for a week on holidays. So he's going to give us testimony here for us on Sunday morning. So I'm looking forward to hearing Paul Welch. So pray for Paul. And I hope I've said his name right, but pray. And if you want to invite somebody along, this converted Roman Catholic, as far as I know, and you hear some of the things the Lord do, and they go on the streets every Saturday just about. If you're on Facebook, you'll see him and his brother, they renovate houses and stuff. That's what they work at as well. And he's a good lad, like, so pray for Sunday morning for the meeting. Let's turn tonight, and we're still in the book of Acts. And this is the first Pentecostal sermon, Acts chapter 2. And I just want to share some things about it. The main things, I won't get them all tonight, because the main thing in this portion is Joel and Jesus. And when you get to the Jesus part, which is all about the Lord really, but there's 8 specific facts in the book of Acts that they always preach. And I want to bring them 8 things out, but I won't have time to get them tonight. Maybe I'll get to the first one, because I want to deal with a wee bit about Joel first. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. These is a key verse now. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy and
with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, and of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Let's bow our heads tonight, and if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that we can come aside for a time to read your word and to seek your face and give time to pray. And Lord, we enter your presence tonight humbly, reverently, pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over lives afresh, over homes afresh, in this house afresh. Pray for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, that you'll sanctify us, that you'll cleanse us, that you'll wash us, that you'll water us, that you'll fill us with the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every hand raised. Lord, that you will meet every need, spiritual, physically, financial, whatever the needs are. Meet every need, we pray. Lord, you know every secret prayer and request that's been prayed, and we pray you'll meet every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you'll help us with your word tonight. Give us a context to the text and touch your people and help us to bring someone out tonight to bless people and help, we pray in Jesus Christ's name, that we'll see you even more, Lord Jesus. Bless those that couldn't be here, perhaps working or couldn't make it. We ask your blessings on all the nurses, the doctors, those in a place of authority in this country. We ask for your wisdom, your guidance, for Israel, for your blessing and a hedge of fire about them. And Lord, for our families and our children and all our loved ones, that you'll hedge them in, cover them with your blood and save them, we pray. Now, Father, bless your word now. Till our hearts and the services that lay ahead for this brother Welch is coming Sunday morning to testify. That you'll bless him, strengthen him, Lord, and help us, Lord, and bring people in, we pray, and just have your way amongst us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Peter the apostle here is the apostle to the Jews, the apostle of circumcision, and uses the keys to open the door of the kingdom. And you know, Jesus gave him the keys, and he saw 3,000 souls were converted. 3,000 souls. Galatians 2, 78, and I did go through this a few weeks back as far as I remember. But counterwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was to Peter. So Paul preaches the uncircumcision, Peter was preaching the circumcision. You have to see these two men were both called to God, but they had different works to do in the kingdom of God. Now we know ultimately that the Lord did give Peter the sheet that fell before him, because Peter, being a Jew and preaching to to that type of people, didn't really think it was for everybody. But when the sheet came down, all the different unclean animals, and he was told, take and eat, and he said, I've never taken anything common or unclean. And the Lord said, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. And that started in the book of Acts, and it has to remain tonight. Understand what I'm saying? When the Lord Jesus washes somebody in the blood of Jesus Christ, it mightn't be of the same affiliation of somebody else, or the same denomination, or whatever they want to call it, but if they're truly born again of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they're clean. They are the Lord's children. Amen. And God showed that to Peter. And Peter, verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter, this is Paul speaking to the apostleship of circumcision, the same wrought mightily in me towards the Gentiles. Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the Lord Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom. And isn't it remarkable in Acts 2.38, we didn't read as far as Acts 2.38, but Acts 2.38, Peter's message says, "Repent ye therefore, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now we know a lot of people think Peter made a mistake when he said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," but he made no mistake. He was fulfilling the great commission of Matthew 28. "In the name of the Father, the Lord, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost is anointed Christ." He was fulfilling it. He was doing it right by revelation. Now there's tremendous important facts in the first Pentecostal sermon, if I can call it that, which fall into two main dimensions. And it starts off here with Joel, and then it's Jesus. And I'm saying that, we know it's mostly about the Lord, but I'm just saying, he's preaching from Joel's writings. Peter is preaching from the writings of Joel, and he's preaching the message from the Old Testament for them. Now you know there was a dispensation when the fullness of time was come. You see, when the fullness of time was come, was at the right time, but it was at the end of the Old Testament dispensation when Christ came. And there's different dispensations in the Bible. So it didn't mean the time was over, but the fullness of time of that time period. And I want to just mention briefly on that this evening, and we'll see how far we're getting. I won't try and be too long. Now it is the pattern sermon for all preaching, I believe, what Peter preached in the book of Acts, this first sermon. In the early church, we know that the whole message they had was Christ. And everywhere you read through the book of Acts, they preached Christ. And Peter didn't just preach Christ, but Paul preached Christ crucified. Philip preached Christ. It says he preached Christ on them. Paul actually said that "I know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So the whole message is Christ. So if you were to ask them men then, or if you were to take a highlight from the book of Acts, what is the highlight of the message from the book of Acts? You would have to tell me it's Christ. And if you cannot see that it's Christ, you haven't read the book of Acts right. Because when you read the book of Acts right and you follow all the apostles and all them wonderful men of God that preached, they preached Christ. Now Joel had the prophetic, this is the prophetic word of Joel in Acts 2, verse 16, 17, which is read. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So this is called the last days. But you know we're living in the last days. How many knows we're still in the last days? Now, what did the prophets mean by the last days? Now let's go with me for a few moments to read some scriptures. Isaiah 2 verse 1 to 3. "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established to the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and the nations shall flow unto it. And many shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Psalms 90 verse 4. "A thousand years in thy sight are but yesterday, for when it is past and as a watch in the night." So a thousand years to the Lord's like a day. It's like a day to the Lord. 2 Peter 2 verse 3, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of that one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day." So time with God is not like time with us. And when we think so long periods, a day to God, we would say a thousand years, a long time. If God was fortunate, if we were fortunate enough that God blessed any of us to see 100, then that would be a long lifespan in this time and age, 100. But imagine 10 hundreds to get to 1,000. And that's nothing to God. See, the Bible talks about the former days, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, you can read. Maybe a brother can put it up. God at sundry times, and I preached this before in Hebrews, but the former days, he spoke to us through the prophets. So for 400 years, we had the law, we had the Psalms, and we had the prophets. 4,000 years. Now in the sight of God, 4 days, you could say. In the sight of God, it's like 4 days, but it's 4,000 years. We had the law, we had the prophets. All of them pointed to Christ unto the church. So for all that time span, right through the Old Testament, they pointed to Christ and the church. They were pointing forward. And isn't it amazing that when you get up to the book of Acts, they didn't have the New Testament to preach from. They are preaching to us the gospel of Christ from the Old Testament. Isn't that wonderful that they're preaching Christ from the Old Testament? Amen. All of them pointed to Christ, the church, the old covenant age of the shadow and type of the natural Israel. Type the natural Israel, sorry. These last days in Hebrews chapter 1, the church, the new covenant age fulfillment, spiritual Israel. And we are spiritual Israel. Paul tells us we today are spiritual Israel. We are the royal seed of Abraham by faith. We're not related to Abraham by the physical saying we're Jews. But we are by faith. We are the royal seed of Abraham by faith. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all faith. Now, the early church had no New Testament. So we see their constant referral to the Old Testament. Prophets. That's what they referred to. For everything that God was going to do or saying, God spoke through them Old Testament prophets. Now, Peter and all them men of God believed the message of those Old Testament prophets that it was thus saith the Lord. And it was thus saith the Lord. Their understanding had been opened to the truth that the prophets not only spoke to their time, what they were now living in, but also to time before them. So the Old Testament prophets spoke till right up to the times of Peter and to Paul. And yet they spoke to the generations before Peter and Paul. Right through they spoke. Amen. Right up through every era they spoke. Just like you could say, for instance, a virgin shall conceive. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That was spoken in the Old Testament. But that brings you right up into the New Testament time. For Christ brought it in. The New Testament. But look at 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So the prophets searched for diligently and the prophesied of the grace that we now have. We are saved today by grace in Christ alone. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now I was thinking last Sunday, and when our brother John was preaching, you know, there's something that we can do that Jesus never can do. Now I knew that would definitely get your attention when I said that. There's something we can do Jesus can't do. Did you realize that? Jesus Christ can never get up and give a testimony and say, I was lost and I got saved. For he never needed to get saved and he never was lost. But we can say we're lost, we were lost, we're saved. And you know the greater works in that America. The greater works in that America, healing. It's part of God's word, but the greater works is a man or woman getting born again. That's actually the greater works, believe it or not. How many believes that? Somebody could be healed and still be lost. But once you're born again, born in the Spirit of God, that's your greater works. And I tell you what, we have a testimony tonight that the Lord saved us. The Lord never needed saved, as we heard. He never made a mistake. He did the Father's will perfectly. But every single other man made a mistake. That's why, listen to this, no other man can be the center of our preaching. Only Christ Jesus. Because there's no other man worthy enough. No matter how good they are, they're not worthy enough. But here's another thing, the main thing. They've no salvation in their name. You cannot be saved by believing in any other name. It is only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ you're saved. This is the message through the book of Acts they preached through that name. That name was everything, what they preached and lived for and stood for. And these Old Testament prophets knew it, and they believed it. And they knew there was one coming. And they knew there was something greater coming. And when you think of what they had, but yet something superior and greater was coming. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was perfect. The Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish. Amen. Who pre-existed ever before he was here as a man. That the Bible says all things are made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that's made. He is the beginning, the creation of God. No man could make a statement like that. Who could stand? Who could talk to the scribes and Pharisees and say, hold on a minute. Before Moses was, I am. They said, you're not even 50 yet. How can you be before Moses? Who could say, I'm here on earth and I'm in heaven as well? That's what he actually said. Who could say that? But he said it. He transcended two worlds. Do you know that? He came from eternity into time. He took a mighty stoop and he came down to our level, lower than the very angels, that he could save us, that we could have a testimony that the Lord's ours tonight. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I know it's Old Testament, but I believe, how many believe we still need moved by the Holy Ghost? May the Lord move us, may he help us, that we're moved by the Holy Ghost, and these men were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when you're reading their writings, you're not just reading the book. You are reading the infallible Word of God. It's prophetic. It's a prophetic book. Amen. It's a book of the mind of God spoken. Amen. What God thought, he spoke it. His prophets spoke it out all down through them ages. Praise God. Now, I want to talk a bit about Jesus. And I won't have time tonight to mention 8 things. I'm going to take one and maybe a wee bit of a second one. That's it. And then we'll come and pray. Because at times I could go on already. I can't believe it. First thing is, Jesus is a living incarnate Word. He was God made flesh. He's John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He is the Word made flesh, the living Word. Now I want to try and bring out 8 things. I can't do it all tonight. These are 8 facts through the book of Acts and every sermon in the book of Acts. 8 things. And these 8 things are outstanding when you study the book of Acts. They will come at you. You'll see them if you look for them. And if you're not looking, you'll still see them because they're so strong. The very first thing is, and these are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is, he's sinless. That's the first thing I want to tell you about these 8 facts. The number one fact is, he is sinless. Do you realize on that one fact and statement, he's above every other man? Just on that one thing, and that's one statement, he's above every other man. Every other man has failed. Every other man has fallen short. Now we know a man in this country, we won't mention no names, it's recording. He's failed, it's a terrible thing. What's happened, he's been found guilty. But I've been watching about other people and they're jumping in now. They're jumping in. But I'm going to tell you, we think they never maybe did what he done. But if they're not born again, they're on the road to hell. And they need to repent. Now, we know what he done was wrong. It was wrong. And he was wrong, and we know all that. We're not condoning it for one moment. But are there a lot of people jumping on him, on the bandwagon? And I'll tell you what, if they're not saved, they're going to hell. Now, they might be fit to say he done this and he done that, but God will never ask them one time about that man. They will have to give an account for themselves. And if they have not come under the blood of Jesus Christ, they're guilty. Only the blood cleanses from sin. That's why the devil wants no preaching on the blood. None. That's why he doesn't want it preached. He knows that's God's antidote. That's the cleanser. Amen? That's what brings us into fellowship with the Father, the blood. When we wash in that blood, we can come boldly through that blood. He is sinless. The sinless man, Acts 2:22. Here was a key verse we read. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. He is approved of God because he's sinless. Amen. Jesus is a Savior. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He could never be a Savior if he was a sinner. But because he's not a sinner, he is a Savior for sinners. And Christ can only save sinners. He came to save no one but sinners. Christ died for sinners. That's the message of the gospel. Amen. Only Savior from sin, because he's sinless. He is sinless. He knew no sin. Jesus of Nazareth, this involves a sinless birth, his virgin birth, his humanity, his Nazarite vow, his consecration to Jehovah's will and service. He is sinless. There's no where he failed right along the whole list. There's not another man you could put there. Everyone's failed and fallen short. And they had to. Because this all points to one man. And that's, you say, Brother Tom, you don't need to keep lifting Jesus up. That's for your own. He has to be lifted up. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Mark 1:24, saying, let us alone. What are we to do with thee? These are the demons. You see, the demons recognized them. Isn't it absolutely amazing, brothers, that the religious world didn't know them and the demons knew them? Yes. Isn't it absolutely amazing that the so-called church people of the day of Jesus blasted them because we heard on Sunday the man was healed on the Sabbath. They didn't like that. You know in the other scripture where they plucked the ear of the corn? There's so many of them where they blasted them. And he went down to a publican's house and they said he's a wine bibber and a gluttonous. They named it. They'd done everything. They blamed him on everything. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And there he stopped with a woman at a well that none of them fellows would go past to help. And she got a drink of the living water. Jesus went places that the religious preachers wouldn't go. That's a fact. And they didn't even recognize who he was. But these demons and a woman living in sin recognized him. That woman that had six husbands, she was a real sinner. She said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. She said, come see a man that told me all things ever did. She recognized him. And they didn't. Mark 1:24 said, let us alone. What are we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, thou Holy One of God. They knew he was holy, sinless. Mark 14:67. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. This is Peter here. But the Lord changes Peter. And the same Peter preaches in Pentecost. See, the only reason a man can be changed, this is a real extreme change, isn't it? This is a birth. I tell you, Peter's born again. From a man cursing and all them things, a sinner, then he preaches on the day of Pentecost. Amen. John 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we know we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nathanael comes to Philip. Philip findeth Nathanael. Isn't it amazing? Now listen to this. This is like the message, what they call the message today. I want you to listen to me. This is the same thing happening. These fellows said to Jesus, we have Moses. We have Moses. Who are you? We know if it was of God, Moses would have spoke of it. They quoted Moses, but they didn't even recognize the one Moses was all about. They claim to have the message, but they fail to see the real messenger. Now, the real messenger wasn't Moses, but Moses pointed to the real messenger, Christ. But them Pharisees didn't recognize him when he came amongst them. Now, here's what people used to say. If Paul come back round groups today, would they recognize him? And a lot of groups says we believe what Paul believed and all that. Well, I'll tell you one better. If the Lord Jesus come back, would they know him? Would they know the Lord Jesus today? The religious world 2,000 years ago didn't know him. But the people that you would never expect it recognized him. Women that was caught in sin, she recognized him, Lord the Christ. These demons recognized him. Amen. Christ they recognized. Matthew 2:23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So all these things he had about him, he fulfilled. Now his life and ministry, I'm closing because the time's gone. If you go into his life and ministry, and I'm only going to say a few things concerning it, I'm closing this. You know the first thing I'll tell you about his life and ministry? What's the first thing? You should write it down. Now I guarantee you people will say, well, the miracles he did, no. Walk in the water, no. None of them things I picked, they're all wonderful. He's a perfect man. He's a perfect man. Jesus Christ is a perfect man. There's not a man, any one of us could point a finger at another man. But then what about our own selves? How would we stand before God? If we were not saved, we couldn't stand before God. I know we're saved. But Jesus Christ was a perfect man. He was a sinless man, and he was a perfect man. And he's representing us tonight. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely want him representing me. Amen. There's no way I could do it without him. He's the perfect man. And you see that perfect sinless man, the miracles followed him. He says, I do cures today, miracles tomorrow. And I cast out devils with the finger of God. Ain't that something? Go and tell that old fox. That's what he sent the message. Go and tell that old fox her. Cast out devils with the finger of God. I tell you, Jesus Christ is a man that we're worshiping tonight. Let's come and pray and seek the Lord this evening. Pray for the meetings that lay ahead as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight. Lord, we think of that words of that wee song that we've been singing this last few weeks. Here am I, so unworthy of the blood, but yet it flows for me. Lord, not one of us was worthy Lord, not there was no way of our own selves we could do it, but we needed you. But we thank you for the availability that whosoever will may come. Lord, we bless you tonight for that statement, that wonderful word, whosoever will may come. Lord, and whosoever will come, the door's opened, and he may enter in and go in and out and sup with you. Lord, we thank you with fellowship tonight with the Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, this evening we bless you. We can't thank you or praise you enough for what you've done for us, for what you mean to us. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask you for our loved ones. Lord, you'll save every one of them. Lord, we pray you'll deliver them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. Move in this wee land of Ulster, we pray. Pour out your spirit, prayer, and supplication upon your people. Strengthen and bless your people at this time. Add to your work such as should be seen. Help us always, never to give a moment of our time, especially when preaching, to any other name but your name. Lord, help us to uplift your name, to magnify your name, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. For at the name of Jesus Christ, every nail bow and every tongue confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. We say it tonight in this hall, you're Lord. Lord, I say it tonight, you're my Lord. My Lord, I worship you and praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. And I love you because you first loved me. Lord, may we never be ashamed to say we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, you said you loved us and gave yourselves for us. We know that God is love. Help everyone to know your love tonight in this room, those that are listening in. If there's anyone discouraged, Lord, or cast down, may they know this evening the love of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you said that the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Shed abroad that love in our hearts tonight by the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Ghost not just be in us, but may it go over us and come on us at times. And may you move us like you moved men of old by the Holy Ghost power, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we appreciate every man of God you've used, and even the women, Lord, we appreciate every one of them. But Lord, all our adoration belongs to you. All our praise belongs to you. All the singing that we want to be singing about belongs to you. Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Help us to lift you up. Help us, O Lord, I pray. Help others to see Jesus in us. For you are the light of the world. Bless your people now, Lord. Strengthen them. Meet every need for time as we wait for prayer. Help us to pray the right prayers. We pray for this young man Welch as he comes on Sunday. We thank you for how you've delivered him and saved him out of such darkness of Romanism and popery. Lord, we give you the praise tonight from the darkness of that dungeon religion. Oh Lord, the glorious light of the gospel has broke through. We thank you, Lord, that your light shines in the darkest places, and the light expels the darkness. We bless you for it tonight. Father, I pray you'll light us up and keep us lit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Move on everyone now and all of our children. Cover them with your blood. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's just continue that.